You look at Rashi and the Mishnah Kufal from a base. And it says Isha. So he made a commitment laws on his bito. I asked. She had a child from a different marriage. And he made a commitment to support his daughter for 5 years. So he has to support her. He divorces this woman. And this is Aim La'akar Shagir Sharishan. Now this individual, for our purposes, he's the Rishon, even though she had been married before. She had a daughter from X. Now this individual marries her. He's the Rishon. He divorces her. And now she marries somebody else. So he cannot say, L'chashatabu etzli, Kloymar, he cannot argue, Im ha'yisim mekayim esa ima ha'yisim zana. Had I remained married to the mother, I would support her, and otherwise not, because he didn't make that condition. Then the Mishnah says that if he dies, or if they die, so when I say him, zanas b'nechasim b'necharin, both men, their daughters will get their support from the b'necharin b'lamim mishabotim. It's a non ematzian achilas peris. Certain things you cannot collect from Mishabadim, even though it's a bona fide shibut, and theoretically they should have a right to collect from Mishabadim properties which have been sold. But since on the purchaser's end, to keep track of the amount. That we only allow to collect from the Shabbatim something which is documented, therefore the purchasers can protect themselves against it. So we know that Reuven is selling a piece of property, so the Lekeach, before he will buy the property, will check to see what debts Reuven has, what property he's left for himself to collect from, and they will then make a decision if they want to buy it or not. But something which is unlimited because it's ongoing, so that the keach cannot protect himself against. So therefore, they did not allow them to collect these things to collect from the kulchos. So the Mishnah says four things. So mazanisha bonus is what's relevant to us. It mentions two other things, which is achilas peris and the shrach kakos. That's a case where there was a stolen property. And so Reuven is a seller over here, and he had a property which he stole, and while he stole it, so he ate peiros, or so now the nigzel comes to collect the property, and he comes to collect also all the peiros that the gazan ate. So he comes to collect from Reuven's property. Being the nigzel comes to collect from Reuven, the Goslin's property, all the money which is owed to the nigzel for the payers that Reuven has eaten. Well, he doesn't have enough property to pay back that the payers that he ate, and the nigzel wants to collect from properties that Reuven sold. So he's coming to the Lekuchos to collect from that, so we can't collect from the Lekuchos, because the Lekuchos have no way to protect themselves against this Achilles Peiros. They didn't know that Reuven stole a field, and they had no way to say, well, we're going to figure out how much Peiros Reuven ate from the field, and we're only going to buy this property if Reuven's left with enough money to pay back the nigzel in case he comes. How are they supposed to know about that? So we cannot collect from the kuchos. Case of Shrach Kukos is sort of the other way around. The Goslin had been Mashpiach the Karko, and now he returns it. He wants to collect from the nigzel for the shvach that he did. So certain cases, the nigzel, if he accepts the shvach which he did, he has to pay for it. So he has to pay the goslin for the shvach. And now we're coming to collect from the nigzel's property. And the nigzel, sold some of his properties. Similar type of an issue.
One more question about this. So, after a sale of property, if someone takes on additional debt, can those debt holders go back to
No, it's only so the rights are only a debt which is prior to the sale. But the girl which he had made a chiyuv, not the regular standard chiyuv of mezonos, but he had undertaken a chiyuv to support this stepdaughter, so she collects from mishabonim. She kabbalas chayiv. She yesh lo leyan shtar mezonos. She has a shtar. So the pichim would say the following: kolzman sha'at imi loim emois or temusi or yagarshech. But if I die or you die or I divorce you, I'm not going to support this stepdaughter. Okay. Itmar. So the Gemara starts off with a discussion. How does a person undertake chiyuvim which he is not really chayiv? Or it's I buy something, I'm chayiv to pay the money, etc. So I'm going to generate a debt. I commit now to pay you a certain amount of money. So we can understand in the world of in the case where it's, let's say, to an ani, so it becomes a netter for tzedakah. But that's a chiyuv which is incumbent upon the person because of mitzvah. But that should have a financial commitments. How exactly do you do that? How do you generate that? I owe somebody money which I didn't really owe him.
Why is tzedakah different?
Because it's a netter.
It's
a nidrei tzedakah. That's a chiyuv on the person. It's not a chiyuv. It's a financial obligation.
Yeah, but why isn't the, by the same token, my interpersonal dealings also like a netter? Why isn't that?
If I say I'm going to do something without saying netter, shua, any other language, it's not a netter. When I commit to do a mitzvah, it gets a din of a netter.
Even if I didn't use the lashon?
Even without using the lashon of netter.
Why that distinction? Is it because a person is sort of more committed to, is serious about mitzvahs?
Why are nidrei mitzvah? I can't do a mitzvah. Does it have a din of a netter without using lashon of netter? I don't think it's a lach in das. The world is not from the pasuk that when you commit to do a mitzvah, it becomes a comment about you to do it. See it, Mehar. Person generates a chiyuv. He's committing to pay somebody a mana. Rechon or Chayv, Rechon or Potter. So Rechon says Chayv and Shlokon says Potter. So let's get the case clear. What are we talking about? Hechidomi. Eid Amr Luhu Atem Eidai. If there are Eidim there, he tells the Eidim, listen, you should witness this fact that I'm being Machayv myself to so and so a mana. So my time of the Rishlach is to Kapotter. So that's clearly a bona fide commitment. And he's being moida. I'm saying I owe him a mana, so I'm chayiv. Whether I owe him or not is irrelevant. But if I say Hudos Baldin that I owe, if, being aware that they're Adim and saying I seriously mean this in front of Adim, so it's Hudos Baldin and he has to pay. So my time of the Birchon to Kamachayev. Why would you actually be Chayev? Can't work out to Dos Baldin because he could say I wasn't serious. I was just joking. So why would that be binding about the person?
Are we only talking about an existing, or we're talking about a new?
Well, that's part of the question. We're going to get there. Right now, the person saying, I owe so-and-so 100. So, is that a hodor? Is that a commitment? That's part of the question. Okay. So, Morris says, Lo'alam de'loi lo'kamer lo'hu atem eidai. The case wasn't that he said atem eidai. V'hachim b'mayaskidim d'omer le'ichai b'ani l'chom mono bishtar. He he does it through a shtar. He doesn't say these words. He writes a shtar to that effect. Okay. So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv Chayiv, because Alima Milsa the Shtar, Kemand Amar Lahu Atem Eidai Dami. The shtar is powerful enough that it gets the equivalent of saying Atem Eidai.
This is a shtar that has not been witnessed.
This is a shtar which has not been witnessed, correct.
What prevents you?
No, we have witnesses. I mean, well, there's no witnesses written in the shtar, but he gives it over in front of anything. We're not arguing about this story took place. It's like an IOU. A person's writing an IOU.
So instead of saying to people that you're the witnesses that I owe this person money, they write that in a shtar and they witness the transfer of the shtar.
Correct. Okay. Meshlagosh Amar Potter, Loyalima Milsa the Shtar. So the fact that you wrote it in the Shtar is not any stronger than just saying it without saying Atamela. Okay. Sak Rashi, Sirashi. He said explicitly, you should be witness this Shani Modula that I'm admitting to him. The time of the Shlokas to Potter, that a person, if Adam would come and say that Adam would testify that so and so admitted in front of us, then he's Chayiv. That's a valid scenario that a person would be Chayiv. Alma heard the Bifnei Adam is Chayiv, so we do in front of Adam works. If he didn't tell the Shemim, you should be my witnesses. My time of the Rebbe Yechon, and Hakayim Alon, Hossam, and Sanhedrin, the Tzarsh Yomer, Atemeda. The Mor says, you need Atemeda, otherwise the person can say, Meshata Nibok, I was just joking. Hagasin, Loyalam, Deloy, Omer, the Hu, Atemeda. Hakam, my skin, and Bishtora. Shemosel, a star, Befaneno. He gave over a star, Befaneno. Because by Anichai, and Lachamona. So he wrote, I owe you a mona. I Vafal P Shaksav Yodahu. He wrote it with his own hands. So let it work out Shaksav Yodah, it's an IOU. Hobele Chosam Potter. He has to sign it. So he just wrote these words without any signature. But it's not Hotilov Ksav Yodah Shukhaivloy, government chosam rechar. If he has a Ksav Yad, that's valid to make a person pay from Bnei Charan. K'gan shechosem boy ani ploini levisi monam ploini. He writes the lashon I so and so bar a monam from so and so, and then he signs it. K'gan muchem perakap ishush and isar malo. Damar baya litev chasimis yode achaspo, aber magil toloi. We had before, back in the second parak, of a person needs to do kiyam shtoris, so a person can come and testify that he signed on the shtar, and that's kiyam shtoris. But if you have a scenario where one aide is still here, one aide is not here, either died or left, so you can have Reuven testified that he signed the shtar, and then Levi and Yehuda will testify that Shimon's signature was a valid signature. So you have a kiyum on Reuven's signature by him saying he signed, and you have a kiyum on Shimon's signature by Levi and Yehuda testifying. What about the only person who recognizes Shimon's signature is Levi and Reuven? So we have a problem. Reuven's testifying on his signature, and Reuven is testifying on Shimon's signature together with Levi. So the Mora says we have three quarters of the process based on Reuven. His signature is totally Reuven doing it himself, and Shimon's signature is partially Reuven, partially Levi. So it doesn't work. The Mora says it's three quarters of the money is coming out based on one aid. So the solution is that Reuven should write his signature in front of us. So we'll then take his signature and do Dimin Chasimus. So Reuven's not testifying in his signature at all, because we have Reuven's signature comparing it to what Reuven wrote on the Shtar. So we know Reuven's signature based on Dimin Chasimus. And then Reuven and Levi will testify in Shimon's signature. So Abaye said on that when he writes his signature, he should not write it on a Megillah, because somebody unscrupulous can come along and write something on top that, you know, I so and so borrowed $1,000 from Beryl, and his signature is underneath. So we see that the definition of Ksav Yodeh, that it's valid, is not that he wrote the words, is that he signed it. So Moore says you should sign it only on a chaspa, on a piece of cheris. Chaspa is a type of thing which can be forged. So Lacha recognizes that a person comes in with, you know, somebody finds the shard and it's about them, it says Reuven's signature. They write on top that I so and so owe Beryl $1,000, signed Reuven. Bezalel will not respect it, because they know that a shard is erasable. You could erase something and write something new. So we don't know what was written there, if anything was written there before. If something, what was written there, it was erased or not. So Bezalel was like, well, this is not a valid document because it's not verifiable. So you should only write on the chaspa and not on the megilta. Why my time? Dilma mashkech lei, because maybe somebody will find it and write on top some chiyuv and then have Reuven's signature on the bottom. And then Abaye says, and that's the Mishnah of Ksav Yodeh, that it works. So you see that the word Ksav Yodeh doesn't mean that he wrote the words, is that he signed it. Therefore, so he didn't sign it. So you cannot work. Well, the fact that he wrote the words without signing it is not a Ksav Yodeh. That does not meet the criteria of a valid IOU. So we're not working with an IOU. So what are we working with? That it's you have a document. It's working as a document, and the Ryuchan says it works. So the Shtorah, if they ate him, since he gave it in front of Adim, that is enough to generate a dinner of a Hidah. Okay. Something more. Tana, our Mishnah. Hanoi says, "Isha paska imoy." Man marries a woman, and she arranged with the man. Laws in his pita chomishanim that the man should support the daughter for 5 years. Chayiv lazona chomishanim. So the Mishnah, he has to do so. So what's the chiddush of the first case? The person makes a commitment. He has to fulfill his commitment. So obviously, he has to fulfill his commitment. The second case, the chiddush is even he divorces her, fine. What's the chiddush of the first case? My love, ki hagavna, isn't the case in this type of case that the Mishnah says that it works. Because if it's a simple case that he went through the regular channels and made a full bona fide document, etc., so the Mishnah, you know, if a person pulls up a full document, he's mechuyev v'shkoyev. So it can't be that it was a regular shtar. It was something along the lines of they're disputing it now, and we have a documentation similar to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish's case, and the Mishnah says that he's bound by that documentation. So it's a kashrut Reish Lakish. Or it says, lo, that the case over here is Mishtoi Psikta. We're discussing over here in the Mishnah is not that he's wrote up a Hidah that he had committed to support the girl, and he wrote it up under the circumstances which we would have this discussion of Reuven Reish Lakish. But rather we're discussing that the actual original commitment, the fact that he says it, what's binding, why is it binding about him to do so? That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. And where do you see such a? That's called shtari psikta, a shtar which you're making an arrangement of a commitment. Kirav Gidol, Domer of Gidol Merav. Come out to Noitzin Lebincha. So the parents are discussing, the fathers are discussing and meeting the commitment, discussing the commitments of each side to bring into the marriage. And the father of the Kala says to the father of the Chosen, what are you planning to give to your son to bring in the marriage? Kach b'kach. And he says this and this amount. Then he asks the father of the Kala, and how much are you going to give to your daughter? Kach b'kach, this amount. So at this point in time, they made verbal commitments to each other. Then they went through with the marriage. Kanu. So they are now bound to fulfill their commitments. Hein hadvorm haniknin b'amiru. These chiyuvim are chiyuvim which are nicked to a person just with a mirror alone. So the kiddush of the Mishnah over here is when he says verbally that he's going to commit to support this girl, and then they get married, he's mechuyav to support her, even though really all it is words. And if it's just words, he could argue, yeah, I said it, you know, I'm a bad person by not keeping what I said. It's a promise, but, you know, so, but there's no financial obligation. I'm not bound by anything. So the Mishnah, no, you are. That this generates a financial obligation. You can generate a financial obligation just with words alone under these circumstances. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That's the Rashi. Bottom Rashi on Kuf Aleph on a base. My love, ki agapa. My edus yesh lo lachas man b'darbez. What was the case? Was that they're disputing it, and she's bringing edus that it's true, and the Mishnah says that her edus is valid. So my love, ki agapa. Isn't it this type of case? Shemoyster lo shtar if they ate it. They gave her a shtar in front of Aiden. Because by plenty of love, kach main sham lo kinyan b'chasima. So it says over there that so and so committed to support the daughter for 5 years. There was no kinyan, there was no chasima, and zot the mishnah that it works because di havi shtar chosim b'yada. If she has a signed document from the man that he's committing to do this, my remember, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Okay. Tosafot points out the bottom Tosafot along the line, same lines as Rashi. The Yivishtar Gomer Machiddush Nechayev. Fine. But then Tosafot points out the Mishnah says that this collects from the Chosim Mishabodim. So that's quite a Chiddush. Normally an IOU does not collect from the Chosim Mishabodim. We're saying this is better than an IOU, even though it's worse than an IOU. He didn't sign it at all. So it's not working as an IOU, which we have in general, that an IOU does not collect from the Chosim Mishabodim. It does collect from Mishabodim. Why the Islay call it? Because the whole idea behind the difference between that's when we passed in Shibud of the Raisa. I mean, the Raisa really, any situation where there's a Shibud has the right to collect from Lakuchas, really. So there's a commitment which was made, a Shibud which was made, let's say January 1st, and then February 1st he sells off the properties. The Baal Chai from January 1st has a right to collect from the properties which are sold a month later, because his sheep was there first. But the Chomer came along and said it's not fair to Lekuchas because they don't know about it. So if it's a Chai which is written up in a shtar, the nature of a shtar is it creates a cult. Okay, so the Lekuchas could have found out about it if they wanted to, or if they chose to buy it anyway. We assume they knew about it, they bought it anyway, so that's their loss. But a non-documented Chayiv doesn't collect from the Shabbatim because the Lekuchas didn't know about it. And IOU does not collect from the Lekuchas because, again, it's quiet. But the situation of marrying a woman and committing to the daughter, the whole thing is a certain amount of publicity to it that generates a call. So now we'll say, since there's a shibud, it'll collect from the lekukas, even though it's not a valid shtar. That's what come out the chiddush of the Mishnah according to that. So A, that it's binding, and B, that it's binding so much you collect from a shibud. So versus law, the chiddush of Mishnah is something else totally. B'shtari p'sikta, a chasam akala poskim tzinoim shebeneim. The two sides are committing; they're being poisek the arrangement between the two sides, and b'shnei edim. There's Adam there, Adam Chosim and Adam Skimur, the Adam are signing. Vim Tomar, Im Kain, my member. If you're going to ask me, okay, so what's the Kiddush of the Mishnah? Yitzchak, the Kiddush over here is the Lekka Kinyan. There was no Kinyan made. All they did is say words. And Adam wrote down that this is the words that they said. So we have an Adam, this is what the words that they said. So Rashi sort of slips in an idea over here that they would do a kinyan suitor together. We know we will accept that a person can commit himself a shibud which he does not really have prior with a kinyan suitor. Right? They're making a nuchiyah. They're saying that I'm committing to bring an ex into the marriage, give my child ex to bring into the marriage. So they're making a commitment. It's a brand new commitment. So what's mechayiv him to do it? So I said, okay, now I changed my mind. Do me something. Why is there a financial obligation? Not just, if there be a Kenyan suitor, he's financially obligated. The chiddush over here says there was no Kenyan suitor. They didn't do anything. They just said it. And it's still binding. Because Hayden Adorim and Nikdim Amira, this is the type of things which Amira alone is enough to be mechayiv.
But I'm confused. I thought that you have Edim here that are signing
Edus Gemura. Edim signing. This is what they said. It's not a star. It's not a star. They're not writing as a star.
Yeah.
Reuben says I'm committing to give Shimon bring into the marriage, that my son will bring into the marriage $1,000, and Shimon's saying my daughter will bring $1,000, and Edim then write down that we saw Reuben say this and Shimon say that. But what's binding is they're a mirror. There was no kinyan. And they didn't make any kinyan, you know. So the Adam are witnessing garnished. It's an Adam and a garnished. That's the gosh. Why is it binding? The answer is that the mirror is Machai. And that's where Gittel's Kiddush. Which, if you think about it, is a fascinating, it's very powerful. So there's a on this, this comes up a few places in Shas. There is a Rishash. Rishash is in Bukharis. I think around Daf Chof. He makes a list of all the places in Shas where you have kinyanim which are bound, commitment, financial obligations which are bound just through a mirror alone. He says that whereas in most cases in Shas this is not true, that you need a kinyan to be binding. And he just says that we have to assume that these cases, the level of commitment that they have, because it's significant enough to them, is so significant, it becomes binding the equivalent of as if they made a kinyan. So stam, a scenario, this would not be binding. In the context of committing to a marriage, that is significant enough to people that when they say it, they really mean it to the point that they can be bound and make a kinyan just with a mirror. And I mentioned to you once that the Chazon Ish in his the Chelek of Choshe Mishpat has a siman over there, Chidushim, from his father, and his father builds off of this, that the Batsim, he said, of every kinyan is not the Maisa, it's the commitment. Every kinyan. Reuben says, I'm being makna Maisa to Shimon. It's okay, very good. right? Make it shimmons. Okay, no, you need a kinyan. You have to, he has to give you a keser. You have to give him a shtar. You have to do a kinyan suitor. He says, really, the kinyan is not the actions. The kinyan is the decision of Reuven that this field should be shimmons. That's the kinyan. Reuven is being makna the soda to shimmons. Alright, so why do you need these kinyanim? Because we don't believe in that it's serious. Until there's some action which is done, until you take this commitment and you embody it in an action, it's not real. So for Chazal said there are certain situations where it's real even without embodying it in a ma'isa, because it's real. But every kinyan, really, the root of the kinyan is not the ma'isa, it's the koyach of haknoah, which the makta is doing and putting into the kinyan, which makes it the other person's. If you think about it, I can be makdish an item, I'm makdish it. Hekdish is not just a mitzvah, it belongs to Hekdish now. I say this is Hekdish, and now it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. I made it the Beis HaMikdash. I'm makdish it. What's the kinyan? I said so. How does that work? I'm mafker something. We discussed that hefker is a form of, you know, that hefker, the same way you cannot be mafker as Abashan and Rishusa, you cannot be mafker as Abashan and Rishusa, you cannot be mafker as Abashan and Rishusa. Hefker is not just, you know, it's not, I don't care if you take it, it's not yours anymore. How do you do that? How do you make something which is yours and not yours? So this shirt is not mine. What does it mean? It is. Well, I say it's not mine. It's an act of taking it out of my Rishusa and putting it into the state of hefker. I can do it with a mirror alone. So why can't I make it yours with a mirror? So the more says you could. But normally we say that when I want to give someone a hekdish, the mirror alone is serious. Being mafker, there's no real mice kinyan which you can embody it in, so we say the mirror alone is serious. Over here, a commitment to two people, unless you embody it in some type of kinyan, we say that it's not deep enough, the commitment, that it's real unless he does a mice to symbolize that. That's how the Chazisha's father explains this Gemara.